ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. BBC investigative journalist Greg Palast coming up on the torture memos. You don't want to miss what he has to say about that. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Lots of people talking about the president in Latin America meeting with... go ahead, just do the Sean Hannity version, Jim.
French, commie, gay... Socialist Chavez Castro.
That's actually more understandable than what they actually said. We'll be back with more on right-wing reaction to that and the release of the torture memos. You can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com, as Andy did, with yet another unsolicited testimonial to the StephCast. Steph, just wanted to let you know I've caught your show a few months back. I became instantly addicted, which makes me believe that you are adding heroin or crack to your airwaves.
Yes. He caught us.
Computer 38.
Oops. As a 29-year-old Midwestern IT guy who hates politics, I've become more informed on politics thanks to your show. Keep up the awesomeness.
Oh.
You're welcome, Andy. Be careful of the crack and also the side effects.
Warning. Listeners of the Stephanie Miller Show have been known to suffer serious side effects, including but not limited to rickets, rabies, scabies, eczema, the heartbreak of psoriasis, hemorrhoids, hematomas, heebie-jeebies, gingivitis, laryngitis, halitosis, expialidocious, projectile diarrhea, Epstein-Barr, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, Steinberg,
Flavin,
undescended testicles, distended ovaries, and exploding uvula syndrome. Consult your doctor if you are pregnant, awake, breathing, or have eaten within 12 hours. Some settling may have occurred. Do not use near open flame. Seek immediate medical attention if ingested. Do not induce vomiting.
Ick. Jim! Dave has sent us, I guess, the quote for you. Who said, I mean, you look at this country now. We've got all these foreclosures. We've got all these people laid off. We should be behind him 110% hoping he's successful. And I just thought it was unpatriotic and basically BS for Rush Limbaugh and that idiot Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and all those idiots not to root for this guy. Who said that?
It's Mark Levin.
No, a very bad guess, though. Charles Barkley.
Former
basketball player.
I love Charles Barkley.
Jim, there's a theme to today's Guess the Quote. Who said, neither party is anything to write home about, but the Republican Party just went right-wing whack nut job on America and screwed up the country. Who said that?
Michael Savage.
No, another spectacularly bad guess. That'd be Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley, who is a Republican.
All right. As you know, I think I've mentioned that I live in the loudest neighborhood in the world. I live next to a boy band with a screaming dog, and then I have the, you know, the gay neighbors that play the Cher 24-7. However, I'm not, I don't live in this woman's neighborhood. UK women charge for loud sex sessions.
Oh, God.
Don't you hate the people that show off next to you in the hotel rooms? A woman has been given a banning for, a ruling banning her from making too much noise when having sex with her husband.
Oh, God.
Carolyn Cartwright was found guilty of breaching a noise abatement notice served on her after 25 complaints to the police. The 47-year-old was found guilty after magistrates listened to recordings of her loud love.
Oh, wow.
Embarrassing.
Oh,
see, that's
my.
Where jury duty would be fun.
Embarrassing. Carolyn Cartwright and her husband Steve's loud marathon sex sessions kept their partially deaf neighbor awake at night for 2 years.
Oh, my God. Oh, Daddy.
I can't move my foot.
Oh, that's loud.
Daddy.
My foot. That's too much.
Oh, God. Oh, you're good. Oh, my God.
That couple is going to move next door to me. I can just go out on the limb and predict.
Yeah, has the garage band stopped practicing in the house on the other side of you from boy band?
Yes. The garage band has ceased. That was also, I was boxed in there for a while.
Yes, you were.
Or maybe they got a soundproof studio in
there. Well, boy band's on tour, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't
been
there.
His dog is never on tour.
Oh.
You know, the screamy dog. That sounds just like that. I'm not kidding, right? You've been there.
I've been there, and it does sound like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bill in the... He's a little overwrought, that dog. Bill in Madison on the president. Hi, Bill.
Hey, kids. One place you may not think that Obama might be getting some pushback not to do too much with the torture is from a couple of Democratic senators, Feinstein and Rockefeller. They may have been clued in just enough. So when it comes down to naming names and getting rid of people, we Democrats may have to lose a few of our own just to be prepared.
Right. Well, yeah, I hear you. But, again, we don't know. That's the problem that we were talking about, the Rockefeller's letter. Remember Jay Rockefeller on warrantless wiretapping? He wrote it down. He put it in his safe. But that's all he could do because he would have because of national security. So I look forward to the truth coming out myself. Let's go to Art in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Art.
Hi. Good morning, Stephanie. I've listened to you quite a while.
Thank you.
And would it be real calm today, real nice, okay?
Okay, uh-oh.
All right. First, I'm 80 years old. I was with the 77 Deuce MP Battalion in Korea.
Uh-huh.
We guarded trains. We had a time came, I can't remember the time frame, 51 or 52. Mm-hmm. We're going to exchange prisoners of war, okay? Now, this was Kosovo. So they sent me down to Kosovo with my company, and we guarded these prisoners. Now, the time came for that we're going to exchange prisoner man for man. These guys in Kosovo didn't want to move. I mean, they had 3 squares a day, all the rice they wanted, food, everything, okay? They were interrogated, okay? Now, they wouldn't go. And they knew, see, here's the problem when you interrogation and that, and what the subject of today is
interrogation, torture, right.
Right, okay, mm-hmm. Torturing. All right, what is torture, okay? So what we did, we called in the 23rd Division, the 2nd Army Division, and a couple of companies, that was too many.
Right.
But there were about 4 or 5 companies came with battle gear, fixed bayonets with the M1. At that time, we had the M1s. They came into our compound, and we marched them in. And when these guys saw those patches and the battle-hardened men, they jumped on that train before they could even open the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Why?
They had fear. They knew what we could do.
Yes, but you didn't actually do anything with the bayonets, did you?
What?
You didn't actually do anything with the bayonets, right? They just saw them?
They scared them to death.
All right. All right, Art. Thank you for that story. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Point is, they didn't torture them. There was a...
And here. I think he tied an onion to his belt.
Yes, they...
We can't butt heads like we used to, but we have our ways.
Oh, you got it.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere.
Oh, no.
Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville, I needed a new heel for my shoe. So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time.
Oh,
now,
no.
To take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was the style at the time. They didn't have white onions because of the war. The only thing you could get was those big yellow ones.
Mm. The Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize to Art and thank him for his service.
And we stuck onions on our bayonets. That scared the dickens out of those
fellas. Scared the bejesus out of them.
Bless his heart. Thank you for your service.
Yes. And we thank him once again for his service. Hello, Charlie in Iowa. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Stephanie. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I struggle with this torture thing because I think it's all about motivation. You know, why did George, what do you think his motivation was to authorize some of these techniques? Do you think it's an evil motivation just to be mean to people, or do you think it's to
no.
gain information to save American lives?
It doesn't matter. It's illegal.
That's the problem.
I'm not one that will say George Bush is intrinsically evil. He did blow up frogs when he was a child, but that's another story for another time. It's illegal.
Then why isn't Barack Obama prosecuting?
Barack Obama may not be prosecuting, but that doesn't mean there won't be prosecution.
That's
He's opened the door for it by releasing these memos.
And Leahy is now emboldened to form a commission.
But if it's illegal, why doesn't Eric Holder go and get him?
It is illegal. It is illegal. We said it was illegal when Japanese soldiers did it to our soldiers.
So why aren't we prosecuting?
You weren't listening to what
you're not
we were saying.
Paying attention, but okay.
Yeah. He wasn't interested in having a conversation. He was interested in...
Yeah.
That was a version of I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah, exactly.
I decided to bail out. Okay, let's go to Merrill in Washington on the torture memos. Hi, Merrill.
Hello, know, Stephanie, if Bush had at least 53 warnings that the Trade Center was going to be attacked and he did nothing except tell one guy to, well, you cover your ass, now get out of here, it sounds like after the fact torturing people is relevant as far as our national security. It's only for terrorizing people in the world. What do you think?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Leah in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Torture Memos as well. Hi, Leah.
Hey, Stephen the Mooks. How you doing?
Good, go ahead.
So listen, everybody can go to whitehouse.com. That's where Obama reads his emails. He read them for his telecast. And all of us who voted for him...
Whitehouse.com or whitehouse.gov? Because whitehouse.com, I believe, is a porn site.
Yeah.
You need to be careful about that. I think it's whitehouse.gov.
Okay, well, yes. I sent him a, you know, thing, but I think that all of us need to do that because it is illegal. And you know what? Spain's taking action, so we don't have to force Obama, but Obama should know all of us who supported him want him to understand that it is legal.
Well.
And I just got to throw something in here that I tried to do earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be the West Coast representative for safe sex for the teabaggers and send them all condoms.
Thank you. All right, Leo. Bill O'Reilly talking about the release of the torture memo.
The left-wing media has sold the world a brutal, we're a torture nation, that the USA indiscriminately and sadistically harmed human beings on a massive scale.
Yes, under Bush, yes.
The New York Times and NBC News have made a campaign out of this propaganda.
Because it's true.
Uh-huh.
It happened. True.
Yes,
Bill.
Under George Bush.
See, there are things called facts.
Yes.
Things called facts, empirical facts.
We were a torture
that are
nation.
True.
And that's why Barack Obama is trying to reclaim America for us and say we are not a torture nation anymore.
He might have an opinion about whether it was torture or not, but whatever it is, we did it. And there's really no dispute among honest people about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, or then there's Bill O'Reilly.
There is the huge gap between the Obama administration, the far-left media, the Bush administration, and I think most Americans, I think, look, most Americans understand when
look,
life and death is there, you've got to do something more than the Army field men.
No, no.
No.
Americans are not for torture. Sorry. That's another.
And it doesn't work. You get bad information from torture. They were getting good information from people using other techniques, more sophisticated techniques, and then they stopped getting it once they started torturing them.
Sophistication. Gay and French.
Yeah.
Jim in Santa Monica, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey. This is like a conspiracy sausage for Jim.
Okay.
I was wondering that maybe the whole purpose of torture was not to get information. It was to piss generations of people off so that terrorism would continue so that the war could continue.
Right. Well, could be something to that.
Ha, 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 ha. Perhaps there'll be a conspiracy corner coming up on that.
I mean, you know, war is good for business.
That's not a conspiracy. That's kind of a fact.
Eisenhower talked about that.
Yeah, the last conspiracy corner, can you still get that on StephanieMiller.com?
I believe you can.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Best one ever on the right-wing extremist groups and the Homeland Security
and
Report.
And it will be on Apocryphal But True as well.
Really?
Yes.
You just slipped me a plug. All right. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with the right-wingers still screaming about their pathetic teabagging as we continue on.
They've been screaming a lot lately. What is wrong with them?
That and Greg Palast coming up with the latest on the torture memos as we continue. Don't go away. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Dave in Buffalo on the torture memos. Hey, Dave. Welcome.
Good morning, Ms. Miller.
Good morning, sir.
I got it right that time. The global war on terror is a sham when you look at it within the context of the failures of 9/11 and the fact that the Iraq war was unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
So when you torture someone, you get a false confession. That false confession is inserted into the color-coded danger thing in Homeland Security to make the American population nervous and be drawn closer to a Republican corrupt fascist administration.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. All right, let's go to Steve in St. Louis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Torture Memos. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steph. Hostile caller.
Okay.
All right. Now,
I've been forewarned.
That's good. Now, the issue is torture does work.
It does work, and you know this how.
ask John McCain. Ask Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
John McCain says the exact opposite. He said you get incorrect information. He gave the names of the football players when he was asked.
Broke him, Stephanie. We're not talking about right or wrong. It does work.
He gave them incorrect information when they tortured him.
When we're doing it with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, we're not asking for confessions. We're looking for verifiable information. Granted, anyone can give false information no matter what you do to them, but to say it doesn't work is ridiculous.
But I'm going off what a lot of experts have said.
Including John McCain, who's a noted expert in torture.
So we would have gotten verifiable, confirmable information from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed had we given him cookies.
But they did
Are
get.
Are you kidding me?
We're not talking about giving them cookies.
They did get information from people without using torture.
Yes, but when you deal with a guy like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, that helped us catch the next guy they got.
But you don't know that, Steve.
You don't know
people.
You weren't in the room with them.
Pardon?
May I just say, Steve, you are not a hostile caller. You're just a caller with incorrect information.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah.
Oh,
no,
not an idiot.
Didn't say that.
But you don't know anything about it. You weren't there in the room for the questioning of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
There's a distinction between putting a crowbar in someone's rectum and then waterboarding them. Torture is sadistic.
Waterboarding is sadistic.
It's not sadistic. There's psychological trauma, but there's no pain. There's no.
That's not true.
Have you ever been waterboarded?
Tendencies from the people who are doing the interrogation.
Have you ever been waterboarded?
No.
Then you don't know what it's like.
That's a personal issue. What does that mean?
It's only torture if you insert something in someone's rectum.
No, when you do it sadistically, you're not trying to.
Oh, if you do it in a bad way. If you do it in a nice way.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you know who you are.
So that's why we hang those Japanese guys in World War II, because they were waterboarding us in a nice way.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Because they weren't sticking things in rectum.
I think his point is that you can stick things in people's rectum in a nice way.
The FBI has been doing this. They know what they're doing. They get good information out of people by getting close to them. Torture gives you bad information.
Ed in St. Paul.
Hi. Am I on?
Yes, Ed. Go ahead.
Oh, let's go back to the happy place where people think that torture is bad.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Go back to Psych 101 for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the Milgram studies?
No.
Well, there was a guy who was inspired by the Adolf Eichmann trials and the My Lai massacre to do this experiment where he invited people in, and he invited people to torture others.
Right.
So,
Think they were torturing others.
They would think they were torturing others. So they would press a button, give a shock, and an actor on the other end would scream in pain. And
right.
They were ordered to keep doing it. And what we found is that, lo and behold, people tend to defer to authority, and that deference is stronger than, say, listening to your conscience to disobey orders.
Yes, so, when they were given permission to torture people, they did more of it. More enthusiastically.
Yeah. So they had every opportunity, and they weren't exactly, listening to a superior officer, just some guy in a lab suit and a lab coat who seemed like he knew what he was doing.
All right. We will be back with the latest on the torture memo controversy with British BBC journalist, investigative reporter Greg Palast next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sounds like someone's got a case of the Mondays.
Blah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, it's all everybody's talking about on the left and the right, the Bush-era torture memos. If only there was somebody that had an inside track of some... Why, who is it, Chris?
BBC investigative journalist Greg Palast.
Good morning, Greg Palast.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie Miller.
So you got to, I got to get your take right away, because, when this first broke, Greg, you understand, like, people on the left are screaming because they want people prosecuted. People on the right are screaming. They're saying it's making us less safe. But, I was saying, look, I'm not ready to give up on the president on this. I still think there could be prosecution. What do you think?
I don't think there's going to be prosecution, but look, because he's going to have to go forward. The last thing he wants to do is have a prosecution where everything's going to be barfed out on the record. After all, he's now the president, and now his file. He doesn't want everything out there, and we just got to get used to that. We didn't know.
Right, but Greg, I mean,
Gandhi here.
But Greg, let me jump in and say that obviously Pat Leahy, John Conyers, and others. I mean, this has emboldened them to go forward, isn't it? I mean, obviously he's not a dummy releasing the memos.
No, obviously Obama released the memos, which is tremendous. I mean, that's quite a huge step forward. I mean, you know, that makes him Mount Rushmore material compared to what we had before. And of course, he said, you can't do this anymore. Guess what? We can't torture anymore. Golly, that's a rough one. But prosecutions, forget it. You know, John Conyers, Congressman's a good friend of mine, and I respect him greatly. He knows that, you know, at most, he's going to be able to get a few hearings out of this. Let's be realistic on it. What I'm very concerned with here is that the that sticking Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's head underwater, under a cloth 183 times, may end up with the case against him being thrown out. This is the guy who, and by the way, if, you know, just so you know, if you want information from Khalid Mohammed, all you had to do was turn on Al Jazeera, because he actually spent hours on air describing in detail all his activities, including the logistics, because he was in charge of logistics of the September 11th attack. So, you know, so you could either torture him or just get a TV.
Yeah, or get a television.
Get a 4K, you know, get an Iranian, you know, an Arabic cable channel, man.
Well, you know, Jim just made this point, Greg, that in some cases, you know, we got information already from these guys, and then we torture them anyway.
Well, that's the point. This was not torture for information. Let's get this clear. Okay, they squeezed this poor schmuck Abu Zubaydah, and they got everything out of him that they needed by buddying up to the guy. Okay, they used the old Israeli technique. They became his best friend. He sang his heart out. And then they ordered the torture. Same with Khalid Mohammed, who did his big TV appearance. Okay, the point was, is torture for torture's sake. As Dick Cheney said about preventive detentions, there's no use claiming a right unless you exercise it. They wanted to prove that the president had the right to do it. So what would be a better couple of characters to start doing the nasty on than two confessed operatives of Al-Qaeda, including Mohammed, who is number two. He really was the number two under bin Laden. But he self-confessed. He didn't get a darn bit of information out of this guy. But the idea was simply to say, we can do this.
Yeah, it's just, that's shocking, because then that's just to be sadistic. That's just pure revenge.
It's worse than sadistic and revengeful, because who doesn't want to take revenge on these guys? The problem is that it was establishing a precedent of presidential power to torture.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you can't imagine anything more evil and vile. In fact, it said that one of the footnotes in the memos talked about how the CIA agents were more disturbed and damaged than the Al-Qaeda guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Muhammad's a tough cookie. He doesn't care. Stick me underwater. They did it 183 times. It's like, hey, man, is that my daily bath? Tell me about it. You know, so he didn't care. But the CIA agents were like throwing up. I mean, they couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
You know,
this is
bad stuff. Americans don't do this. What he did, what Bush ordered, and his little character, Michael Hayden, head of the CIA, is just plain un-American.
Well, you know, now they're screaming that, Obama has made America less safe. Because now, first of all, how is that making you less safe? You're not doing these techniques anymore. These are illegal. What are you telling the enemy?
Didn't we get attacked under, it wasn't under the Obama administration, was it? Am I missing something here?
That's right.
Am I missing something here?
Yeah.
It was under the Bush administration. Okay, and you know, the torture, like I say, once the guy said everything he's going to say on TV, and the other guy said everything he was going to say because you were nice to him, and they fixed his head wounds and everything, you know, this is baloney. To say that we are safer because America tortures, give me a break.
Yep, yep. Now, Greg, you know, I was saying, you know, when this first broke, I don't understand why, and again, maybe you and I are differing on this, but that whether it's a Pat Lay or a John Conyers, or, you know, somebody can't get to the top on this. I mean, and how do we know that some of these guys haven't already sung, some of the CIA interrogators?
Well, the CIA interrogators are hopping mad. They would love to go before Congress. Don't forget that it was George.
Well, that's
Bush
what I'm saying. They were ordered to do it. So yes. that's what I was making the analogy to Lindy England. I mean, I want the guys that ordered this. I mean, they were shown legal justification from the Bush Justice Department that this was legal. So to me, those are the people you got to go after.
Well, as you know, the Obama administration restricted Congressman Conyers, who's head of the Justice Committee, from interrogating Karl Rove beyond a certain boundary. So in other words, Obama's basically saying, I'm changing policy, but guys, we're not going to open up the Pandora's box of the past. And, you know, look, Conyers would dearly love to do it. Justice can't be done unless the books are opened. And, you know,
right, but isn't this a way of, isn't the, in some ways, the book is already opened? I mean, the most damning, you know, memos have already been released, right?
We don't know, do we?
You mean it gets worse? It could, I suppose.
Let's put it this way. They've released memos on torturing two confessed, pretty darn nasty CIA, Al-Qaeda operatives. One a big shot and one a small biter. What if we have tortured completely innocent people?
I'm sure we did. Yeah.
And so the problem is that Obama starts opening that up, and we're going to have, it's going to be like the urine on the Koran case. We're going to have riots all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Obama is going to be deeply concerned that of the repercussions of releasing all this stuff. Now, I think
that's a good point. I mean, you know, how about Americans, you know, realizing in their name, reading an account of torture performed on a cab driver that got turned in by somebody for $5,000, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's going to happen. And however, I myself am with Congressman Conyers of the opinion, having watched these kind of truth commissions all over the planet, you don't clean up the act unless you get out the info. In fact, this happened once before in America when what was called the Senator Church Committee, 30 years ago, opened up the books on CIA shenanigans and just let the spiders out, you know, and said, look at this stuff. And they sent in a guy, H.W. Bush Sr., to go in and clean things up. And actually, one thing you could say about Bush's CIA director is that there was some professionalism, got rid of some of this stuff. I think that Bush Sr. would have been utterly sickened by what his son did, and probably was.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that. What I'd like to get is the conversations between Junior and Senior about the CIA.
Yeah, exactly. Greg, what do you think the upshot is going to be of Leahy's Truth Commission? Because he has said Friday that he's going forward based on these memos.
I think that the big thing that's going to happen is that he's got to encourage some CIA agents to come forward, go public, and then give them protection. Because the one thing that I think that you can count on is that while Obama's not going to run after and prosecute some of the big shots who, like Michael Hayden, who he put in charge of the, who Bush put in charge of the CIA, I do think, though, that Obama is not going to then turn around and prosecute CIA agents who come forward. What I would like Leahy to do is have an open door for the agents to come in out of the cold and say, I did this, I was commanded to, I was ordered to do this, immunize them and go, and so they themselves don't face prosecution.
Right.
Yep.
And get the word out from the agents themselves. These are going to be some guys, because they have credibility, they didn't like it. The memos made clear that it was the CIA agents themselves who objected. They didn't say, oh boy, can we pull out this guy's fingernails?
Yep,
they thought this was insane.
Yep. Greg Palast, where can we find out more things about all things Greg Palast, including your new DVD?
I got a new DVD out, Bobby Kennedy. Palast Investigates, from 8 Mile to the Amazon, on the trail of financial marauders. You, GregPalast.com, for a pre-release copy.
That was your cell phone's a little choppy, so whatever that was sounds fabulous, and GregPalast.com is where you can find it. Thank you, Greg.
You got it.
There he goes. That makes me want to go to GregPalast.com even more. Because what was he talking about?
Bobby Kennedy. Financial crime.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, we have a link to it in the daily blog section of StephanieMiller.com.
Ah. Fabulous. 43 minutes after the hour, back with more of what you think and we think about the torture memos and what Greg Palast just said as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Scott in La Cañada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the torture memos. Hey, Scott.
Hey. I just called to give you guys grief.
Uh-oh.
I'm just blown away. I mean, and listening to even Greg Palast just a few minutes ago saying, I bet that Daddy Bush is very upset with his son and he's appalled. Listen, Daddy Bush was the chief spook of the CIA.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, come on. If he learned, Bush knew.
I think he's disgusted with him for a myriad other things, but maybe not that.
But no. Listen, there's no problem between the two. He served his master well. Now, listen, you guys have been totally disingenuous on this. I'm not a Republican, but this is not just a Republican issue.
I want there to be prosecution. I'm talking about how we get there. And Greg was saying essentially the same thing that Jim was saying Friday, that's what Leahy could still do is get some of these lower CIA guys to flip.
Well, here's the deal, though. It's not going to happen.
How do you know that?
It's because they all are looking out for themselves, and you have the
same.
Well,
if they're granted
immunity.
Yes,
but many of them knew it was wrong. If they're granted immunity, that's how we could get to the top.
That's exactly
what he said.
You know what? It would be great, but the problem is they're still fighting this phony political expedience war that our current commander-in-chief still has us in. It's going to unfold exponentially beyond what we're in now. I mean, look what's going on with Iran.
Look, wouldn't you rather have him say, I'm not going to prosecute the guys that carried out the orders if we ultimately get to the goal of prosecuting the people that gave the orders?
At the top? You think that they're going to get the people at the top?
If we go at the bottom, it's the same as Abu Ghraib. Then you got Lindy England in jail. We got the bad apples. We don't know where the orders came from.
Stephanie, I think what you're saying is awesome. The problem is there's no difference between President Obama and President Bush.
What?
Oh,
none.
You will call and kiss my ring when I'm right on this. I will be right on this, and you will be wrong. Mama's always right. Oh, please.
That's absurd.
Please.
Shoot down their argument, they change the subject.
That's right.
It's like, it's just like President Bush.
All right. Let's go to Chris in Tampa on torture. Hello, Chris. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, I'm one of these guys that doesn't look at waterboarding as torture.
Uh-huh.
So I'll just kind of set that straight.
Okay, and when we said it was torture when the Japanese did it to us, we were also incorrect?
Look, I'm not gonna
we hanged some guys for doing it to us, to World War II.
All I'm going to say is I think the president does need to keep some harsh interrogation options available on the table at all times. And if Obama doesn't want to do it, that's fine. But what I will say, what I do want to say
is there a difference between harsh and illegal to you?
I think that's a matter of opinion. Is it illegal?
No, not really.
Okay. Well,
there's a Geneva Convention. There are rules that we have always followed. And as Jim just said, we hung some guys in World War II that did it to us.
Okay. Well, I heard George Tenet on O'Reilly's program say that when they waterboarded Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, they got a lot of information.
Well,
he sang like a bird.
Of course, that's what he's going to say.
Well, of course, George Tenet's going to say that. Well, he's the one that ordered it.
Yeah, and puts him in a good light.
Yeah.
And he needed to be in a good light.
And as Greg Palast pointed out, you could have gotten any of that information by watching his television interviews where he claimed credit for everything.
Doy.
God.
Thank you. I think you speak for all of us when you say.
It was not about getting information. It was about proving that they could do it and letting people know that they had the authority to do it.
I haven't heard doy since I was in eighth grade.
Doy?
Beth in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Steffi, thank you. The more I listen to this, the more I wish your father was around to talk to us.
Me too.
You know, there are some people that are still alive from the Nuremberg trials who have spoken out within the last few years and said, we didn't torture and we didn't get information through torturing. I was going to talk about Abu Zubaydah, but Greg Palast already did. So what I want to say is, our government knew torture doesn't work. We had the SEER program, S-E-R-E, that looked at all these torture techniques that were used by the Viet Cong, for heaven's sake, and they didn't get accurate information. And I also have been reading that Obama has been hesitant to prosecute because he wants cooperation from the CIA.
Yeah.
And
president needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm conflicted about this whole thing. I really would like to see the law carried out, and I would like to see the big guys get what they deserve.
Yep, I agree. Mm-hmm. All right, Jeff in Chicago on waterboarding. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, it's not really in regards to waterboarding. It's in regards that one idiot caller. Let's just throw waterboarding out of the window and not even consider it. We had people who died under our care because we were torturing them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that isn't cruel, I don't know what
is. That's the other thing, Jeff, is that, you know, when you have Rush Limbaugh and others saying, fraternity pranks, my friends, you got to remember people died, and probably likely a bunch of people that were innocent.
Yeah.
It got turned in, you know, because of tribal rivalries
or
whatever.
They were bribing people. We'll give you $500 if you turn in people who were behind the, you know, 9/11. Oh, okay, sure. I know a bunch of them.
Yeah.
David Axelrod.
The guy who has the annoying dog that barks all the time next to me. Yeah, he's a terrorist.
And the other guy whose uncle stole my goat.
Oh, I'm starting to think of ways to get rid of my neighbors.
Yeah.
David Axelrod said yesterday on the teabagging, the thing that bewilders me is this president just cut taxes for 95% of the American people, so I think the teabag should be directed elsewhere because he certainly understands the burden that people face. The tea parties, of course, brought to you by a Dick Army.
Yes, and nobody should teabag the president. I mean, come on.
No. Fred Barnes on Britt Burr.
What's significant about the tea parties is they are grassroots.
Oh, come
they began
on.
There, and I don't know whether they're going to build significantly or not, but they are certainly worth watching, and Democrats ought to watch them because they could really develop into something and hook up with what the business community and others who resent the spending.
Fred Barnes is a liar.
Yeah,
he knows damn well
like
it was a Fox promo.
They're catching on.
You're
like
a liar, honey. A dirty, rotten liar.
Oh, you're a liar. You're just a liar. You always were.
We call Fred Barnes honey here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hannity on the...
For 8 years, we have heard how dissent is an important part of patriotism.
Really?
How the left wrapped themselves in the cloak of an oppressed minority when it came to attacking President Bush with every angry breath that they could muster. Now look at how they use patriotism to justify their own hatred.
Huh? What the hell are you talking about?
Who can ever tell? Okay.
Like I said earlier, he's a girl.
He's screaming like a girl about everything. Castro, Chavez, French. Okay, by the way, we had some more pirate trouble, Jim, over the weekend.
And we got the Astroglide to help fend them off.
Yes. Oh, by the way, we would like to thank Astroglide, who is now the official lubricant of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
Because I am a woman a good 5 minutes ahead of my time. I had said last week, why don't they just make the ship slipperier? Because then they're pirates, that's how they get up. They grapple up the sides.
That's right.
And I offered to send a flotilla, I believe, from West Hollywood with some Astroglide to grease up the ships.
To
love them up.
To spray them, yes.
Love them up a little bit.
That's right.
And Astroglide sent us an entire package. An assortment of things. I have an Astroglide T-shirt.
We have product and swag.
I think I'll wear that to visit my Republican mom next time I go home.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to bring the Astroglide water bottle to the gym, though. I draw the line there.
Your mom will probably think it has something to do with the space program.
Yeah, it's a new project, Mom. It's the Astroglide.
Yeah. It's a space glider.
Yeah, it's the replacement for the space shuttle.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, NATO warships and helicopters pursued us Somali pirates for 7 hours after they attacked a Norwegian tanker over the weekend. You know what happened, though? They boarded. They found a rocket-propelled grenade. They interrogated. Then they had to release the pirates. They can't be prosecuted under Canadian law because they didn't attack Canadian citizens or interests, and it was not committed on Canadian territory.
Mm-hmm.
You know what my point is about piracy. You can blame Canada. Blame Canada.
Blame Canada.
Exactly.
Blame Canada for a lot of things.
Exactly. Why not?
Routine.
Yes.
Exactly. All right. The president is back in Washington. He heralded a new push to cut wasteful spending. Oh, no. What is the right going to scream about tomorrow? The president said in coming weeks he would announce the elimination of dozens of government programs. He said he would ask his cabinet secretaries today for specific proposals to slash their department's budgets, promising there would be no sacred cows and no pet
what
projects.
What a communist.
Sounds like fiscal conservatism to me. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer Crystal Boyd, voice deity Jim Ward, and somebody's in for Rebecca today.
Miranda!
Thank you, Miranda. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. As you know, the president released those Bush-era interrogation memos last week. The right wing has been screaming about it all weekend. You won't believe what BBC investigative journalist Greg Palast has to say about it. He will tell us next hour on the Celebrity Hotline.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right wing also screaming, as you know, about the president talking to Chavez and the Castro and the Catherine.
Pretty much all they do these days.
They're a little high strung.
Yeah. They need a lozenge. Catherine in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Venezuela. Chavez! Hello, Catherine.
Hey there. Yeah, I used to live in Venezuela 30 years ago, and those were the nicest people. And it's just so they've got a wacky president. I mean, just because we had a wacky president over the past 8 years doesn't make Americans any less nauseating to get along with. I mean, or more nauseating to get along with. You know, it just doesn't matter. And the people that I know from there who are down there, I still write to, email, and everything. They're very excited about this new situation because maybe we'll be able to visit back and forth a lot easier than we can now.
Mm-hmm.
As it is, they can't get visas to come here to visit. I have to go down there. I mean, yeah, I don't mind going back there, but they want to come up here to visit, too. It'll be nicer to be able to do it.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Catherine. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Julie, who, as you know, is the Cub Beaver reporter of the Stephanie Miller Show with our latest Beaver Stack. This is from Detroit. Beaver Skinner to be featured on TV show.
There's more than one way to skin a beaver.
Yes, so I'm told. The rural Detroit Lakes woman has been skinning beaver for more than 40 years, and she's very good at what she does. Kay Bachman of rural Detroit Lakes has many awards for beaver skinning and handling. She's apparently particularly good at beaver handling, which you knew that was a skill you could win awards for.
There's also more than one way to handle a beaver.
Mm-hmm. Bachman filled a segment last year for a show called Cook What You Catch. I had people from Wisconsin and Minnesota who called me up and said, flicking through the TV, I couldn't believe there you were skinning beaver. That's a surprise. If you're not expecting that, you know what I mean? You can,
While Kate prefers the legs and back strap, all parts of the beaver are edible, including the tail.
Mm. Yikes. Okay,
Beavers aren't in season right now, but I'm in luck. I've been invited to a traditional Maine cookout.
Boy. In her prime, she'd...
Kate Krukowski-Gooding is a noted cookbook author, hunter, and trapper. She and her husband, Don, have been eating beaver for 30 years. Lucky for me, she's pulled some out of the freezer.
That's good beaver.
That's cold beaver.
Wow. Thanks. In her prime, Kate would skin 40 to 50 beavers a day. Woof. I don't think even Will Chamberlain has done that. The most rewarding part for Bachman was her freedom. Well, I got to stay home and take care of my kids. I could skin my beaver and do my work around home.
Okay.
Bachman works with trapper Alan Gaddis. He said, I pretty much pale in comparison to Kay when it comes to skinning beaver. I think a lot of people, if they're pursuing beaver, are probably keeping them in their freezer until hopefully the price bounces back up. See, she's not the only woman that keeps it in the freezer.
This is fabulous.
Is this the first time you've eaten beaver?
This is my first beaver.
Kay says there are many...
You seem like such a pro.
Kay says...
Beginner's luck, I guess, huh?
Kay says there are many beautiful things you can make out of beaver. Beaver can be made into rugs, hats, coats, mucklucks, kit mittens, boots, and even teddy bears, she says.
Well, what's first?
Beaver chili.
Beaver chili.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it's been in the freezer.
That's another beautiful thing you can make out of beaver. You like my beaver muckluck? Okay. Thank you, Julie. That's one of the best beaver stacks ever. Thank you. Oh, dear. All right, let's check some other news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. As you know, lots of people still talking about Texas Governor Rick Perry firing up that anti-tax Tea Party last week with his stance against the federal government and for states' rights. Some in his audience yelled, secede.
Secede.
I said it right.
Yes.
Answering reporters' questions, he suggested Texas might at some point get so fed up they would want to secede from the union. We have, I believe, a noted Texan, Dr. Phil, on
He's
this.
He's not from Texas.
All right, wherever he's from.
Now, as a good old Oklahoma boy, you got to figure I know a thing or two about Texas bull. Add to that my postdoctorate work in the field of bullology, and one might think I'd have a pretty good handle on the topic. But Governor Goodhair Perry has quite simply turned me out with his spew last week about seceding from the United States. I guess he didn't get the memo about that little dispute 144 years ago. You know the time they tried it once before? That little soiree took place with 10 other states on your side, plus a few border states y'all claimed for the South that hadn't actually seceded on their own. In that one, it was 11 against 12, and the bottom line was you pretty much got your ass kicked front, back, and sideways. I guess you figure you'll just split and keep the improvements the rest of us put into your state, like the interstate highways, electrification, the astronauts, the oil revenue from the oil fields in the Dakotas and Wyoming and Montana and such like. Why would you think we just let you keep them? This time it's going to be 49 to 1, so how do you think that's going to work out for you? Then maybe we'll let the 18% of y'all who actually want to secede go ahead and do it. Load up the buses, truck them down to the Gulf Coast, and let them clean up their own damn hurricane damage. For the ones that are wavering, I suggest my new book, Look, the Black Guy Won Fair and Square, So Get Over It Already, and the Look, the Black Guy Won Fair and Square, So Get Over It Already workbook.
Ha!
Or get ready for Mississippi to start saying, Thank God for Texas.
And finally, the headline is, Minnesota Papers Unendorsed Coleman.
That's funny!
And then a he. Several Minnesota papers that endorsed Norm Coleman during last year's campaign published editorials this week asking him to give up his challenge and allow Al Franken to be seated as Minnesota's next United States Senator. Three small market news outlets called for Coleman to throw in the towel and concede to Franken, including two who endorsed Coleman during the election.
Oh, really?
It's becoming increasingly clearer that Coleman and his fellow Republicans, desperate to keep the Democrats from strengthening their power, are pressing onward primarily for political reasons, wrote one of the newspapers.
You think?
Mm-hmm. Do we have Norm Coleman?
Coleman.
Yes, we have Coleman.
Where I come from in the county of Staten Island in the great state of Mississippi, Minneconcet, yeah, whatever. There's rules everybody plays by if you don't want to get stomped. Everybody knows how to play potsy. Everyone knows how to play stickball, stoop ball, king, queen, saluji, you name it. But you know what the main rule was? The one he never broke, because then you're a schmuck? No take-backsies. You hear that, Worthington Daily Globe, you mook, you? And you too, Minneapolis Star Tribune, you creeks. Where I come from, there's consequences for this kind of sleazy treatment. You ever been made to inhale a spalding through your nose? How about I give a stick ball where I stick the ball up your ass? How about I take the stick and swat your own person to boss 3 or 4 manholes down the street?
Bless you.
Sorry.
Oh, Norm,
bless
my
you,
own
Norm.
Yes, bless you, Norm.
Ooh, your chiclets fell out.
You understand sometimes a ball split in half when they get a good solid whack. Then there's the best playing Johnny on the pony 1-on-15 against all the fat guys. Not to mention my own personal version of that game, which involves just truly on your back and no reach around. So I suggest you reconsider your stance on my candidacy. You got some nice newspapers there. Be a shame if anything was to happen to them.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends.
Wow.
And
are you okay?
Ready.
I don't know.
Today's stand-up news
Lost
brought to you
my...
by Claritin.
Yeah.
Not really. Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True. Check out the Tie Lab at
StephanieMiller.com.
Since
there's soon to be some new free stuff.
Yeah, free
stuff.
As well
as the dance mix, the extended EP version of It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. The headline is, speaking
tuned.
Of Norm Coleman, Coleman accuses paper of meddling in the election.
You're liars. You're meddling in things that are none of your business.
Newspapers are reporting on stuff like that Al Franken got more votes and things. What the hell? Norm Coleman had a heated exchange with editors of the Star Tribune, accusing the paper of publicizing a lawsuit that accused a Coleman friend of funneling cash to the senator's wife. See, because they're reporting on that story. The St. Paul Republican lit into the paper when they asked him to confirm reports he was being investigated by the FBI. Coleman never answered the question.
Oh.
But apparently they're meddling in the forces of nature by asking a question about whether he's currently under an FBI investigation of some sort.
Why would that be at all interesting?
All right, here's...
Or relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Here's how you know it might be time to get out of a race is when you're getting egged by your constituents.
What? Who got egged?
Tom Coleman got egged.
No!
No word on whether his bed was short-sheeted and his toilet seat was saran-wrapped. However, he used a George Bush-esque move to dodge an egg thrown at him outside his Minnesota home. Coleman told police he heard a thumping on his door and walked outside to investigate. A man yelled, "I can't stand what you represent," and threw an egg at him. He threw another egg. Coleman said, "I kind of ducked a George Bush move." Well, he would do what George Bush did, because he's a very close follower of George Bush. He rubber stamped all of George Bush's
disastrous,
really,
yeah,
really successful policies. Mm-hmm. All right. I think, Norm, egging means that
we're going to need
to
go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
I was told I could keep my chiclets.
All right. Denise in Detroit on our friends over at MSNBC. Hey, Denise.
Hi. Yeah, we all know that the people at Fox are sort of crazy, but there are some loonies over at MSNBC also.
Who?
What's his name? Joe Scarborough sometimes,
oh, yeah.
And Pat Buchanan. I mean, they were on this morning ranting and raving about Obama, and Buchanan was a little... He was horrible. He says, like, something about Obama may look foolish or like a fool or something.
No.
That is so disrespectful.
Yeah.
That's your president.
That's the thing is, you know, clearly MSNBC is trying to represent the counterpoint to Fox News, but you make a good point. At least they have other voices on Fox News. It's like a token sort of.
They're getting rid of all their voices.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, but Scarborough, Buchanan,
Okay. All right, thank you. That's all she wanted to say.
Yeah, I mean, they got rid of the only, you know, primetime counterpoint to all the conservative dreck there. They got rid of Combs.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
exactly. All right, when we come back, we will play compare and contrast between this president and the last one and their
that'll be fun.
Trips overseas. As we continue, 20 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. George in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, George.
Good morning. My comment is, keep your friends closer than your enemies closer. And when you talk to people, you might learn some things, whether they want you to learn them or not, and you can help each other out and just keep a dialogue open. That means you're not being ignored.
You're talking about the president's trip to Latin America, yeah?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I don't see how it makes us look weak to just have a conversation with people. Correct?
It doesn't mean you're giving in to them. It just means that you're willing to talk to them. That don't mean you're going to give away everything.
That's right. All right, George.
Right.
Thank you.
We got concessions out of Raul Castro.
Yes.
Saying, yeah, we're talking about everything. You know, political dissidents, freedom of the press, whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah.
When has that ever happened over the past 50 years?
Never. Okay, let's play compare and contrast with our former president and our current president, who, in my opinion, has had a couple of really stellar overseas trips.
Yes, he has.
The last one, this one that he just concluded. He's back last night, right?
That's
time to get to work, Congress. Time to get to work.
And he's already put his cabinet to work since he's been back.
Yeah.
He's ordered his cabinet to cut $100 million out of their budgets.
Oh, no. They're going to, what are they going to scream about now about the generational theft and the,
whatever.
Oh, no.
Cutting money out of the budget? That's insane. What a communist.
All right. Compare and contrast. You know, George Bush was overseas. He was in China. Bush the humorist went to China. He cracked jokes and about how he scoops up after his dog on neighborhood walks during his first overseas trip since leaving office.
Well, I'm in here 2 hours, and I'm hungry for more. You know, because anyway.
So the president was telling poop jokes.
Yeah. That's, you know,
the former president,
he still lacks gravitas, man. May I just say? Did somebody ever send you the compare and contrast photos? There was like Bush.
I don't believe in gravitas. It's
giving that stupid back rub to Angela Merkel,
yeah.
And then it contrasted with some of the Obama's pictures from the latest trip. Which just
gravitas is still under debate, like evolution.
I believe that's gravity, sir.
Oh.
Phil in Los Angeles on shaking Chavez's hand. Hello, Phil.
Hello there. I was watching the coverage this weekend and thinking back to when Bush met at the OAS with Chavez or when he was there. If I'm, and I hate to reduce international relations to, like, high school psychology, but if I'm sitting around a table and I've got an adversary and they're afraid to make eye contact with me, I win. It's that simple. If they're afraid of me, they're walking around me. The fact that Obama would walk up to him, shake his hand, just it didn't exhibit weakness.
Exactly.
It exhibited
total confidence.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, honey. You are the smartest boy in class.
I hate that. Mm-hmm. Confidence. That's just what they want you to do.
Okay.
Confidence is gay and French.
Could I have some wacky comedy music? George W. Bush said that after he left the White House and moved to his home in Dallas, Jim, he decided to take Barney for a walk. To be a good neighbor, he said he carried a plastic bag so he could clean up his dog's droppings.
As people usually do when they're walking their dogs.
As Barack Obama's had to do, ironically, in a political sense, after George Bush's many gifts. The task seemed ironic to him, he said. I was picking up what I had been dodging for 8 years.
What?
That's dumb.
Jeez. The former president said after he left the presidency in January, he plopped down on the couch and said, free at last. Oh, that's exactly what we said. Funny you should say that.
Hallelujah.
That's what we said. But his wife, Laura, chimed in, you're free to do the dishes. Oh, that Pickles is just as funny as George. Those were the jokes. Yeah. He also
those are the jokes, folks.
Those are the jokes. What are you, a wax museum? The financial crisis, he went on to say.
Chicks. Can't live with him. Can't have him killed in a small plane crash. What? What'd I say?
The financial crisis, he said, gives the world an opportunity. Oh, thank you, President Hoover. Thank you. He said it gives the world an opportunity to modernize financial systems, craft smarter regulations for complex financial instruments, create better banking standards, and enact more efficient warning systems. All the things that he didn't,
he didn't do
that caused the financial crisis.
Yeah, great.
Flaming pile of political dog. All right. 28 minutes after the hour. Torture memos. Everybody's screaming. We'll tell you why when we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Now, it's not too early for you to choose a bong. If you're anything but happy with it, I'll buy it back.
Phase two.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show on 420.
And now, the rest of the story.
It's 420, you know. It's hot day, everybody.
Oh! Oh! Let's spark one up at 420 on 420.
Snap if you got them.
Oh. It's also Hitler's birthday. But, yeah, I don't want to harsh your gig or anything.
Harsher buzz.
Yeah. Hey.
33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll, free from anywhere. Carrie in Austin on the president. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, actually, I don't want to take any flame out of your comedy because y'all, I love your show. I love what the progressives have done for our country.
Uh-oh. Here comes a butt.
I do, and I've got a solution, but let me get it out first.
Okay.
Y'all, there's been a continuous attack on, and I'll just mildly, as far as the commentators can do, against Texas ever since Rick Perry opened his mouth last week.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's not being paid attention to is that I was here when the Iraq War started, back when 90% of the population was with George Bush, and I'm alone. If you're in Texas, you're pretty much isolated when you're in Texas and you live in Austin because you're pretty much against everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this state, in 6 years, 2 years ago, Rick Perry won the governorship with 35% of the vote. 35%.
Oy.
How he won. Yeah. They packed the election with Carol Ann Strayhorn and other people, and the Democrats. There was basically four people running for the governorship. He won 35% of the vote. When it came to Obama, Houston, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio, all the major metroplexes voted for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So instead of attacking Texas, I've got a better idea. I've got a better solution.
What's that?
Considering that I think yesterday was the anniversary of the Branch Davidian thing, let's bring back Janet Reno, let's have a reality show, and her deal with Rick Perry.
All right, honey. Thank you.
I think we can make little West Berlins out of, you know, Austin and San Antonio and put walls around them and have them separate.
I'm all for bringing back Jan Reno because we used to do some great comedy bits around her.
Yes. I believe there was one in which she was sandpapering her areolas.
Yes.
I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
That's disturbing. Okay. All right.
I had no part of that one.
No, that was Carlos.
Sean Hannity screaming like a little girl about the president's trip to Latin America.
You know, I'm looking at Barack Obama, and there's a lot he obviously doesn't like about this country. He doesn't seem to like our economic system, our superpower status, doesn't seem to like our history, doesn't seem to like our underlying law. Is there anything that he likes about this country that he's going to say and not meet with America's enemies and apologize for this country every day?
I'm going to say he likes the fact that he got elected in a landslide.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't not like our economic system. He doesn't like the economy that George Bush left us. And guess what? Neither does anyone else.
And he's having to do some kind of unsavory things in order to dig us out of that hole.
Oh, and I see. He's the one that didn't respect our law.
Right.
not the Bush administration. Okay. All right. Brian in Chicago.
Yeah, Sean Hannity's such a girl.
On compare and contrast Obama and Bush. Hi, Brian.
Hey, so I think I figured out why they're all upset, especially Hannity, that bit. They found out that Obama was congratulating Chavez on the Who is George Bush contest, right? Because Chavez got it right. It was, he's the devil.
He's, yes. We reviewed the El Diablo.
Ayer vino el Diablo aquí.
The devil came here yesterday.
Ayer estuvo el Diablo.
Yesterday, the devil came here. Right here.
En este mismo lugar,
right here.
Huele a sulfur,
and it smells of sulfur still today.
I love how...
So does our country.
Yeah, I love how the...
We're
the,
still fumigating from George Bush.
The translator couldn't help but laugh at the end there.
Oh, it was right here. And it still smells of sulfur
today.
Even today.
Flash forward to Obama yesterday and Chavez saying, I want to be your friend.
Yeah.
Following him like a puppy.
Friends. We need more enemies.
Oh.
Start bombing everybody!
All right. So, president releasing the torture memos, everyone's screaming on the left and right just for different reasons.
Yeah, that's true.
White House Senior Advisor David Axelrod says President Obama spent about a month pondering whether to release Bush-era memos about torture and considered it a weighty decision. He thought about very long and very hard about it, consulted widely because there were two principles at stake. One is the sanctity of covert operations and keeping the faith of the people who do them and the impact on national security on the one hand, and the other was the law and his belief in transparency. Can I just tell you, first of all, I don't even get the right wing's argument. It's somebody, a former Bush administration official, said it's damaging because these are techniques that work.
Computer says
no.
First they get of bad all, information.
No. And by Obama's action, we're telling the terrorists what they are. What difference does it make? We're not doing them anymore. It's not like we're revealing something that's top secret. This is a way of telling the world this is what we are not doing this anymore.
Right.
America does not torture. We are trying to reclaim the moral high ground. The Bush administration official said publicizing the techniques does grave damage to our national security by ensuring they can never be used again.
Well, they're not going to be used again anyway.
Yes, they're not going to be used again.
And besides, all the people we released, I've been telling everyone about how they were treated.
Oh, now you told them all the really good illegal stuff. Oh!
Zoinks. And we were getting good information from them before we waterboarded them, and they decided, it's waterboarded just for fun.
Yeah.
We stopped getting good information.
So we will talk to BBC investigative journalist Greg Palast about this next hour.
Who is not British.
No.
He's actually from Van Nuys.
Right.
by way of Van Nuys.
Sure.
Anyway, we were saying this, that, you know, let's just take a second, because I understand people on the left are screaming because the president's not prosecuting, but here's what gave me a little glimmer of hope, is that it emboldens other people to do something about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Senator Pat Leahy said the release of the documents would lend momentum to his proposal for a commission to examine war on terror excesses. He
whistleblowers.
Said we need to understand how these policies were formed if we are to ensure that this can never happen again.
That is true.
This also, according to the AP article on it, the new pledges do not foreclose entirely the possibility of prosecutions of the CIA or military intelligence officials for torture. If interrogators went further than authorized by the Justice Department, their actions could still lead to prosecution. In addition, the pledges from Holder and Obama did not cover Justice Department officials who issued the legal memorandum, which is exactly what I said.
Three steps ahead.
I would rather get the guys that authorized this than the guys that followed the orders. Rahm Emanuel, Chief of Staff.
We've enhanced America's image abroad. These were tools used by terrorists, propaganda tools to recruit new terrorists. And the fact is, having changed America's image does have an impact on our security and safety and make us strong.
I don't know. We'll see. But this is exactly, these are the stories that I thought were going to come out when we talked about this on Friday. Barack Obama's decision to release the torture memos has emboldened civil liberties activists and top Democrats in Congress to step up their demands for ever broader disclosure of the most closely held secrets of the Bush anti-terror fight, which he knew exactly that that's what's going to happen.
Yep.
So where this is
what
going.
I was saying.
Exactly. Liberal groups are seizing on the graphic memo, saying Obama has set a powerful precedent for the release of other anti-terror tactics, including warrantless wiretapping. In Congress, the memos have intensified calls for the Truth Commission to conduct the, as we mentioned, the Pat Leahy Commission and others. Jarring details in the memos about the techniques may spur lawmakers to conduct an aggressive inquiry into Bush-era excesses. One expert said the question is, does this provide any spinal fusion for the Congress? Maybe they do something. Pat Leahy, once again, went on to say the inadequate legal justifications by our own Department of Justice for these practices disregards both our domestic laws and our treaty obligations and underscores why we must take a full accounting of what has been done in the name of national security. We cannot continue to look the other way. We need to understand how these policies were formed if we are to ensure that this can never happen again. That is why my proposal for a commission of inquiry is necessary, and this is another step in that direction. The patron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, John Conyers, has already introduced legislation calling for a Blue Ribbon Commission. He said, may I have my fine American music, please? We must have a full investigation of the circumstances under which these torture methods were created, approved, and implemented, preferably by an independent commission, as I previously proposed. He said in the statement Friday, he said, independent probe was the only way to resolve factual disputes over whether techniques like waterboarding produce useful intelligence or not. So stay tuned. On all of this, we will tell you what the right is screaming about it and much more as we continue. It's 42 minutes after the hour. The Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Pat in Madison on the president. Hi, Pat.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, I caught an article last weekend in the Times by Thomas Friedman talking a little bit about the Obama administration's diplomatic efforts and their policy when it comes to North Korea, Afghanistan, and Iran. And Friedman's point, and I thought it was a pretty good one, was that, you know, right now it seems like we're almost to the same point that we were in Iraq pre-surge, where we seem to be doing just enough, you know, not to either win or lose, but we're just stuck. And, you know, the point in North Korea, he said, is, okay, you know, we give them some strong wording, the Security Council issues another letter. Well, you know, now North Korea kicks out weapons inspectors completely. Iran made some comments, you know, basically got booed off the stage in Switzerland, but still was blaming America and Israel and saying there's a race, you know, we're setting up racist governments. And to me, it's like it was the same stuff really during the Bush administration. And I don't think that just because Barack Obama is a better speaker, perhaps a little bit more charismatic, or we're trying
to. We're not even 100 days into his administration yet. You expect that we're going to completely have solved the Iran and North Korea problems?
No, but that's my question is, I guess, the point of the article, because what is the end game here, and are we going to do more than just keep issuing letters and, you know, try, you know, North Korea, so they won't even do six-party talks anymore? What's the goal?
Well, all I know is that they got, you know, they developed more nukes under George Bush, North Korea. You know, we were doing better under Bill Clinton. So, you know, I think trying to change what we're doing is a good idea. The fact that there's no hard results in 100 days shouldn't shock us, should it?
No, I agree, but I think isn't it a little discouraging that they kicked out all weapons inspectors and said they aren't even going to engage in six-party talks anymore? Isn't that almost a step backwards?
Well, you know, of course, that's what I'm saying. I don't think, you know, those of us on the left or the right are naive about people like Kim Jong-il. But, you know, I don't think you can say, oh, look, the Obama administration screwed it up already.
No, I'm not saying that. And that wasn't the point of the article at all. I think it was just saying we all need to get a grip and understand that it's not just going to be a snap of the finger.
I agree. But we got to start somewhere. I think, as Obama has said, the ship of state is a big ship.
Yes.
It takes a while to turn it. Patricia in Redondo Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, good morning. I was reading in the Huffington Post this morning an article that Jane Harmon has recently been wiretapped by the NSA and an investigation was opened. Alberto Gonzalez took that investigation to her and said, if you'll lay down cover fire, because the New York Times is about to print the story on wireless wiretapping, I'll drop the investigation.
Huh.
And he did. What I think even more than prosecuting livid.
Well, I beg your pardon, Patricia? How dare you?
I think that more than prosecuting her on her own merits is that this is God's way. Here's your.
Patricia, are you doing that?
Or is it someone on the extension?
Do you have a child? Okay, call us.
Yeah.
Either you have a child or you're being wiretapped in this conversation.
Yeah. Wait a minute, that sounded like it was on a cell phone. I don't know that you could pick up the extension on the cell phone and start dialing.
That's weird.
It's weird. Is there a kid in the back seat? I don't even understand that. All right. So let's move on the torture memos.
Basically blackmailed Jane Harmon.
Yeah.
That's wild. I hadn't heard that.
All right. So the president released the torture memos last week. Mm-hmm. We're going to ask investigative journalist Greg Palast in just a little bit his take on all of this. Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary.
Is the use of those techniques, in the view of the world that have made us less safe?
Oh, you know what? I stumbled across the Fox and the Flavin. What's that Sunday show? The one that has Brit Hume still on it.
Oh, Fox News Sunday.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And they ask the same questions every time. Do you really think that, I don't know, Al-Qaeda terrorist is going to treat an American any better? That's not the point. We don't want to be the same as Al-Qaeda.
Right.
They're saying, oh, do you really think if we change our techniques, that means they're going to, you know, go easy on an American they capture? It's like that, what?
Right. We have a higher moral standard here.
His argument is we should be the same as Al-Qaeda?
No. We shouldn't.
No, we're not naive enough to think that that's going to necessarily matter to someone in Al-Qaeda. This is America, though. Okay. Fran Townsend, former Bush Homeland Security advisor.
The use of techniques led to the ultimate capture of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Oh, come on.
And so there is an argument to be made that in limited circumstances, these techniques can be effective in preventing terrorist attacks.
There's zero evidence for that. Absolutely none.
Yeah, just because they say so and trust them, because when have they ever lied to us?
And this whole thing about, well, we've got to keep torturing because they're going to do it to us, that's to cover for the fact that we have zero moral standing now for having done that. We can't complain about anyone else doing it to us.
Yeah.
Thanks, President Hoover.
Yeah, exactly. Hillary Rosen was on the Situation Room yesterday.
He achieved a tough balance this week. He said, look, we're not going to punish those people who formally engaged in behavior that he thinks is illegal. We're going to say, okay, it happened, but the transparency of letting people know what happened is a big boost to those who wanted to see this happen a different way.
Yeah, you know what? I understand I may be out of step with some on the left on this whole torture thing, but there's part of me that I don't get some of the screaming on the left. First of all, like Jim and I keep saying, there may be a bigger plan here that we need to wait a minute. But secondly, it seems to me the illegal part was them drafting these memos, trying to make torture seem legal. But you know what I'm saying? The people that are following the orders, it's like Lindy England, like we talked about, taking the whole fall for this. You know, the soldiers follow orders. So if they're shown a memo that says this is legally justified, the Justice Department says this is legal,
The soldiers get thrown in jail if they don't follow orders. So.
But typically, you press the underling so they'll rat out the people.
Right,
as Jim pointed out,
they may have already done.
Exactly.
We don't know yet.
Going on in a more subtle way than prosecuting them.
Ron Christie, who has a big vision for America.
Oh, Stephanie.
The right-wing guy on the Situation Room that has a big vision for America.
Gladly the cross-eyed bear.
Everything that the commander-in-chief has to do in this enhanced age of interrogation that we're in right now is protect the American people. I don't see how releasing these memos, allowing people abroad, terrorists who want to kill innocent Americans, now they know that they've taken a couple more arsenals off the table. They've taken a couple of interrogation techniques off the table. And to suggest that putting someone in a box with a caterpillar is torture, I think is ridiculous. The President of the United States needs to take all steps necessary to protect the American people, and I think the Obama administration has tied not only his own hands, but the hands of future presidents.
Including putting people in a box with a caterpillar.
If I were hosting that show, Chris, I would have made Rhonda, Christy, go into a box with a caterpillar, see how he liked it. Just to, you know, by
or
way
of... something he's actually afraid of.
Yeah, like facts.
Yeah. Oh, you see, because...
I may put him in a box with a fact. Jerry and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. My point was just the fellow that called a few calls ago about the surge. I'm tired of hearing about the surge.
Yeah.
I think Obama agreed to say, yeah, the surge worked, just to get the right wing off his back. What was going on more than the surge than anything was we paid off the other side. I don't remember. I can't remember how much money was involved, but do you remember that? They were paying off.
We bribed the warlords to stop doing what they were doing.
To stop fighting.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the surge is a joke. They're just trying to make George W. Bush look like
the
he did something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, did some technique help in the middle of a completely illegal and unnecessary war? Oh, well, yeah.
Computer says, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying having more of our guys over there didn't help, but there was a lot more going on, like what he mentioned, and the fact that, ethnic cleansing works. Once they'd gotten rid of everyone they wanted to kill, of course the killing's going to slow down.
Just mathematically speaking.
Yeah.
Tim and Madison on waterboarding. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I want you to kind of like follow my lead here for one moment.
All right.
Now, if we actually give the right that one person that they tortured that actually gave us intelligence for, now I can't remember his name, Demedad Jihad or whatever his name is, that we found, what was the point of torturing everybody else? What intelligence did we get from them? What intelligence did we get for waterboarding them, putting them in a coffin with spiders and
that's the problem. Everybody in the Bush administration, like from Dick Cheney on down, it's trust us. Yeah,
and
trust
not,
us. It worked. I mean, it's like what?
I know Americans are not stupid here, but it seems like the people on the right who are in love with George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and Hannity and Beck and everyone else can't seem really to think about that. Maybe we did get some valid information from torture, but what was the point of locking everyone at Guantanamo Bay and torturing them if we only got everyone else was tortured for no reason at all?
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, how do you know you couldn't have gotten the information another way?
Well,
a lot of experts say got more information, you know, using techniques that were not tortured.
I was reading that the other day. They did get valuable information without torture, and then they tortured them anyway to see if they...
Just for fun, yeah. All right, 57 minutes after the hour, back with investigative journalist Greg Palast. You won't believe what he's saying on the Bush torture memos, that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy. Voice, Dee Dee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Greg Palast, investigative journalist extraordinaire on the Celebrity Hotline to talk about the Bush torture memos.
Yes.
Which has the right wing screaming. A lot of... entertaining editions of what the fuck today?
Castro, Chavez, French, gay French pirates.
Exactly. That's a lot of exciting what the Fox is today. On
yeah.
Torture memos making us less safe. And, of course, he met with Castro and Chavez.
Castro, Chavez, communist social
Nazi.
He even shook hands with Chavez.
Hands with the stupid homo Nazi. French.
Thank you, Jim. That's, there'll be a slightly less comprehensible version of an actual What the Fox. Jim's version is actually makes more sense then. Yeah, no more El Diablo. He wants to be Barack Obama's friend.
El Diablo no está aquí.
Ayer vino el Diablo aquí.
The devil came here yesterday.
Ayer estuvo el Diablo.
Yesterday, the devil came here.
Here.
Right here.
En este mismo lugar.
Right here.
Huele a sulfur.
And it smells of sulfur still today.
El Diablo está en Texas.
Instead, we got handshakes and smiles and gifts, and he wants to be Barack Obama's friend. All right.
Este lunes. Quiero ser el amigo de Barack Obama. No es el diablo.
Which will cause, I believe, Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly's head to explode. Simultaneous.
Commies. French.
We've got all that coming up. Speaking of which, Larry from Riverside with an edition of...
Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites!
I have a double-pronged Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites. The first one from Larry in Riverside. Steph and the guys, I'm skipping through the channels and paused at Hannity's show. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Larry. He had Oliver North as a guest, and they were both bashing the president.
Yes.
Hannity had to bring up Reverend Wright again. Why is it that the progressives never bring up the fact that he has on his show is a terrorist arms dealer and convicted felon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually,
I brought that up to Oliver
not
North.
Convicted.
Because
he didn't appreciate it. Really.
No, he didn't.
No, he doesn't like it when you mention that. Yeah. Oliver North was convicted by a jury of his peers after he was found guilty. His Congress buddies remembered they had given him amnesty. Not only did he negotiate with terrorists, he sold them arms that they could use to commit terrorist acts. So that makes him an arms dealer for terrorists and an accessory to a terrorist act if those weapons were used in a terrorist act. So would somebody please mention this about Hannity when he starts in with Obama palling around with terrorists?
Yeah.
Larry from Riverside, the smartest boy.
And of course, there's drugs for guns, that whole thing going on in El Salvador. Back then.
All right.
And also, he was in the Phoenix program in Vietnam, which where they did all kinds of nasty stuff.
Actually, I believe...
So he could be considered a terrorist himself.
I used to have him on my old show at CNBC, Equal Time, when we were in the Clinton impeachment.
Yes.
And he was talking about Bill Clinton lying to Congress, which...
That's rich.
I rather indelicately brought up that that was yet another episode of...
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
You know I could have you killed.
Why was he on as a guest talking about the Bill Clinton impeachment? What expertise does he have?
The hypocrisy was gagging me, so I felt the need to mention it. Wendy in New Hampshire with the part two of the Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites. Steph, because she won't go away and can't help being a crazy hypocrite, Caribou Barbie told 3,000 anti-choicers she was addressing that she considered aborting Trig.
Yeah. Wow. I heard about that.
In the Evansville, Indiana, in her first out, this was the breaking news out of Evansville, Indiana, in her first out-of-state political appearance since last fall's presidential election, former GOP vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin confided to 3,000 at a Right to Life event here that she had, quote, for a fleeting moment contemplated seeking an abortion after learning that she was pregnant with her son, Trig. Who
that sounds like she made a choice.
Yeah.
Oh,
she had the choice to, you know. That or the other.
Wendy writes, it appears Shooty McMouthoff learned absolutely nothing from her calamitous run for VP and is genetically compelled to say the very wrongest thing at the very worst time. She is living proof that God works in mysterious ways because we have a competent president and you still have someone who's comedy gold but isn't destroying the country while being that gold. Wendy in New Hampshire. Thank you, Wendy. You made a choice. Interesting.
Yes.
Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, Stallone returns to Rambo for Bollywood, huh?
Oh, what?
Sylvester Stallone is bringing John Rambo back to the big screen for a Bollywood blockbuster.
No.
The actor is set to shock fans by showing the softer side of the unstoppable soldier in a musical romantic comedy production. Oh, dear.
That sounds awful.
Oh, dear. We have the trailer.
He is a legend of war. A soldier without a country. They sent him on a mission. They set him up to fail. The first time was for himself. The second time was for his country. This time, it's for 20 million rupees.
Welcome. No, not now. Cut off the music.
Welcome to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Are you ready?
Yeah.
If a train is leaving Mumbai going 30 miles an hour, and another is leaving Uttar Pradesh at 15 miles an hour, how much Vindaloo is in the caboose?
Can I get a lifeline?
No, you cannot.
Well, I'm pushed. Killing is easy as breathing!
Slumdog Rambunera, First Blood.
Arunadi!
Coming this lifetime, or the next, or the one after that.
We don't have time to rehearse all the sound effects.
Well, okay. That was good for a dress rehearsal. Okay. And finally, Oprah is a Twitter maniac. Now that the daytime diva has signed up for Twitter at around, when did she start? 9 a.m. Was that Friday? Oh, the world came to a stop. She's already going full steam ahead with 6 updates.
Oh, no.
She started off a little unsure in all caps, the equivalent of shouting, with "Hi, Twitters, thank you for a warm welcome." She then moved on to the issue of her lunch.
Oh, no.
I do not get
that was
the tweeting.
Probably... I was more than 140 characters.
Stop it, John!
She's talking about lunch.
Yeah, I don't update with what I had for lunch. That's stupid.
She tweeting, "Hi, Jimmy, order a Reuben for me," before addressing the health of her dog, Sadie, writing, "Hi, everyone, Sadie's great, got her rabies vaccine today."
Are people like reporting on their bowel movements?
Yes, yeah. Some people do, yeah. And I don't subscribe to people
what
like that.
The hell?
We have our Hollywood reporter on this, I believe.
No, it's Sir Nigel Tubthumper.
Oh, him.
Good day to you. I'm Sir Nigel Tubthumper, Ambassador Plenipotentiary for Her Majesty's Ad Hoc Commission for Who Gives a Flying... It seems that Oprah, the goddess of all things trivial, has become enamored of the new internet sensation, Twitter. Evidently, she is head over heels in love with the idea that the entire world needs to know the stupefying minutiae of her life in real time, uncut and unexpurgated. As if. They say the world is besotted with reports that the divine Miss O is about to have lunch, or is about to have a nap, or is about to put the pumice stone to those nasty heel calluses. It is the day I will willingly lie down and expire. To hang your cell phone in front of your sloping brow and deep-set eyes in breathless anticipation of the report that the person whose money far outstrips her relevance is enjoying a good scratch where her underwire binds to her is to admit that evolution has shifted into reverse. Can it be that the providers of this abominable service are taking the... leap out of all of us? Consider the name of the service, Twitter, and the name applied to individual messages. Tweets. Would that Darwin were around to study the decline of humans into bird brains. I suggest a companion service, available to anyone afflicted by messages from this infernal network. In my service, members are allowed to exercise summary judgment and execution on the spot. I propose to call it Splatter. Remember, you can't spell Twitter without twit. Cheery bye.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Derawl.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there will very shortly be some new material, including the deluxe dance mix version of It's a Wonderful Life, which you'll be able to get when you purchase the album. Details to come.
The George W. Bush classic.
Yes.
By the way, he was overseas telling jokes. We'll get to that later.
Show him how you go. That's a crappy car.
Oh, boy. Compare and contrast.
Dogs and cats sure are different, huh? Chicks,
Barack Obama with another triumphant foreign policy trip, and George W. Bush. Oh, dear. Oh, I told some dog poop jokes. Okay.
He did not.
In China. We'll get to that later.
Oh, no.
Okay. Say, speaking of Twittering, Katie Couric is with me on this.
Yeah.
She said it is so inane and narcissistic and bizarre, which to which I say, that's what I thought. Katie Couric may have joined the Twitter nation recently, but she says she's baffled by the social networking site. She said, "I Twitter and blog very selectively. Some of it is so inane and narcissistic and bizarre, I don't quite get it. I don't know why anyone would want to read it, much less why I would want to write it. I don't think anybody gives a rat's ass whether I'm about to eat a tuna sandwich."
She said rat's ass?
Yeah.
She said, "I don't even care," which I don't exactly.
Good for her.
Yes.
You know, it's a valuable promotional tool for the Stephanie Miller Show, what I do on Twitter.
Listen,
apart from that, yeah.
Well, anything that has to do with...
Stephanie Miller.
I'm all for that.
Okay. Stephanie Miller ate a tuna sandwich for breakfast this morning.
Do you tell them what I bring for breakfast every morning?
No, but I will. I'll begin doing that.
Okay. I have leftover salmon today, just so everybody knows.
I'm having sun chips.
You eat dinner for breakfast.
I do.
Yeah, you do.
I bring leftovers. Like I have time to make breakfast. Okay.
I bring breakfast every morning.
Well, for him. I'm busy over
cottage
here.
Cheese.
I have the fart jokes and the Flavin to prepare. Okay. Oh, the headline is, will the Pope excommunicate Mel Gibson for divorcing? The Passion of the Christ director and repentant drunken anti-Semite is ready for the world's most expensive divorce.
Hey, Pope, are you a Jew?
From his wife, Robin, of 28 years. Can you get an annulment after 28 years? Can you say, oh, you know,
computer says no.
Never mind, it didn't really happen for 28 years.
No.
According to Mel, his wife is going to hell anyway because she's Episcopalian.
Right.
He told the New Yorker in 2003, there is no salvation for those outside the church. I believe it. Apparently for those, let's just say, adulterers that are bonking Russian waitresses. That's a...
Allegedly.
However, if you're Episcopalian, then you're really a sinner.
Then you're going to hell. Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Mel is such a staunch Catholic.
Practically a Satanist if you're Episcopalian.
Mel is such a staunch Catholic, as you know, he doesn't even accept the modernization of the Catholic Church as dictated by the Second Vatican Council.
Yeah.
As we all know. Maybe adultery was okay back then. Allegedly. I didn't say I knew for sure. Okay, Suri Cruz is three, everybody.
Yay!
They had a small gathering of friends and family at their Los Angeles home. Parents Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes planned a princess-themed party for their daughter, which included a cake featuring Belle from Beauty and the Beast and a treasure hunt. What is a treasure hunt at Tom Cruise's? Do you get his last paycheck, or what can the kids win? Is that in his couch?
E-meter.
You get an e-meter.
A princess-themed e-meter.
And the $20 million he made from his last movie.
I don't think he's pulling in that kind of scratch anymore, actually.
All right. From his last movie, I said it's still in the couch. All right. Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger.
Yeah. 9.5 weeks.
Yes. We'll
that was you. A lovely movie.
We will tell you what they reunited doing and a story about Mama in 9.5 weeks.
What?
It's one of my old Hollywood stories. You know how you love them.
You were in 9.5 weeks? This I can't wait to hear.
I didn't say that. It was more of a tease than that, wasn't it?
She was Kim Basinger's stunt double.
They cracked all the eggs on me just to see how it went first.
You thoughtless little pig!
20 minutes after the hour, right back with all that on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, where we get the weirdest gifts of any radio show in the country.
Yes.
Not since someone sent us a box of 100 whips have we been so pleased to come in on a Monday morning.
Well, when they sent us the whips, there was no note, nothing inside the box. We just got.
I think it's pretty clear that we would enjoy it. Anyway, I, as you know, a woman a good 5 to 10 minutes ahead of my time.
Yes.
I believe I mentioned something that then was later on ABC News. I had the entire magical solution to the pirate problem. I said just make the ships slipperier.
Yes.
Because then they can't grapple up the sides, the pirates.
Apparently they did that back in the 1700s.
Yes. I had an idea to send a flotilla from West Hollywood, and I said we could... we could lube the ships. We could, what's it called? Astroglide. That's what it's called. And Astroglide sent us a package of things to thank me for the mention.
Yes.
I thought we could lube it up, a little joy jelly, a little motion lotion, a little something.
Whatever.
Maybe we can send that package to off the coast of Somalia.
And it wasn't said exactly like that on ABC News, but a woman a good 5 to 10 minutes ahead of my time. Something like that. Something about making the ships. I thought the president should mention that. Let's make the ships slipperier.
So is Astroglide now the official lube of the Stephanie Miller newscast?
Apparently. I've got a whole sack load over there.
A what?
Thanks, Astroglide.
Thank you, Astroglide. Okay. All right. Could I have some porn music, please? So Mickey Rourke and Kim Basinger will reunite on screen 23 years after the cult classic 9.5 weeks. Ooh, Jim had a 9.5 weeks flashback, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a writer that Mickey has to bathe?
One would hope.
Yes.
They have reunited on and off screen for the upcoming film, The Informers. And they posed on the red carpet together, smiling and hugging and holding hands. And the
whatever.
And all that.
So what's your 9.5 weeks story?
Funny you should ask. Here are some Stephanie Miller fun facts. So back on the disastrous Stephanie Miller late night show in 1995.
Yes.
It was, closer to when 9.5 weeks actually came out. And so my sketch player, Carlos Alzraki, who went on to much greater stardom on Reno 911 and as the Taco Bell Chihuahua, he and I did a parody. We did a hilarious skit for the Stephanie Miller Late Night Show called 9.5 Months, where I was 9 months pregnant, and we did the whole scene in front of the refrigerator because I had food cravings, and so we did.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. Half naked and smearing food on each other, and whatever. It was hilarious.
That's funny.
And a production assistant lost the tape. Lost the film, and we had to shoot it twice.
Oh no.
We were like, oh, you didn't lose that tape. Not the tape that took all day, because there were 75 different foodstuffs, and we were half naked, and we don't really want to shoot it again. Yes.
Did that production assistant have a job?
I believe, you know what, we had very loose standards on the Stephanie Miller Late Night Show, which explains its disastrous failure. Yes. It was keeping production assistants like that.
Production assistant now owns Paramount.
Exactly. Everybody went on to greater success, including that idiot. Okay. All right. Kate Moss has been forced off the booze because she's been prescribed powerful antibiotics to fight a nasty fungal infection of the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she has she went to one of those, the cheap salons.
The mani-pedi place?
The mani-pedi place in Chinatown in New York. And,
computer says no. Nah.
And now she has a great big, nasty, infected hammer toe.
Ew!
Oh, dear. Here's a fun fact about Mama. Even when I'm on antibiotics,
yes.
I do not stop with the hooch. I just disregard that. I'm like, oh, no alcohol, whatever. Okay.
You're breeding resistant bacteria. You're just a human petri dish.
Oh, Jim, you say that to all the girls. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with what Jackie Chan had to say about freedom. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, son, girls come and go, but you'll always have...
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, Scotchmore celebrity stack before we get to the President's Latin America trip. Action star Jackie Chan grew up in...
Yes.
Hong Kong.
Uh-huh.
But he says too much freedom isn't good, and he's starting to think we Chinese need to be controlled. Oh, dear.
Can you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Wow, he said, I'm not sure if it's good to have freedom or not. I'm really confused now. If you're too free, you're like the way Hong Kong is now. It's very chaotic. Taiwan is also chaotic. I'm gradually beginning to feel that we Chinese need to be controlled. If we're not controlled, we'll just do what we want. Yes, that's the point of freedom. That's the point of freedom, is that within laws you can... Maybe he has been struck in the head too much. Okay. Any excuse to use that sound effect.
Yes, you like that sound effect.
I just do any martial arts story, no matter how ridiculous. All right, another musician is suing yet another Republican candidate over using their song. Don Henley of the Eagles, suing a Republican candidate for the Senate, claiming the candidate is misusing two of his popular songs. Charles DeVore is using Henley's hit songs, Boys of Summer, and All She Wants to Do Is Dance, without authorization. He posted some campaign videos on YouTube using Henley's music. In one of the videos, DeVore's campaign changed the words of All She Wants to Do to Dance to lyrics that attack Senator Barbara Boxer.
Oh, no,
you don't
want to
start a fight with Barbara Boxer. No, you don't. Not with the B-box.
I guess he wants a fight.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
And if that's where we're going, that's where we're going.
Don't get the fast of lightning.
Because we're going to have a fight. If this comes to the floor, we're going to have a fight.
And the Republican said, copyright, schmoppy right. Screw you. It's because you wrote the song.
Proving once again, we have all the good musicians
That's
on
right.
our side, and they have
Ted Nugent.
Bismarcky. Yeah, oh, I stumbled across the Fox News by accident this weekend. And
what is your problem?
And watched a replay at Glenn Beck at the Alamo with
whatever
Ted Nugent and the teabaggers, and oh my God. What an ugly American frenzy that was. Mm-hmm. That's, wow.
Those are ugly Americans.
Yikes. Okay. Oh, by the way, I caught Dick Armey in a lie. He was on, I think it was Meet the Press, uh-huh. And he was talking about, he's like, oh, well, David, in Atlanta, there were 15,000 people. Oh, no.
That is an outright lie.
You're lying, scheming, stinking, nasty. As we all know, it does take a Dick Armey for a teabagging of that size. However,
he was only off by three zeros.
Yeah. I believe Nate Silver of the highly accurate 538.com said 1,700.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little different.
I noticed David Gregory didn't challenge him. Really? That's your proud estimate.
Thanks, David.
God, what happened to that guy?
I think once
he danced with Karl Rove on stage, they took part of his brain.
Yeah, I believe he was once on your future husband list, Stephanie.
That's out for advisement now.
Okay.
All right. President Obama's approval rating averaged 63% in the first quarter, according to new stats from Gallup. He has hovered around 60%, 63 over 60%, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Gallup predicts how healthy ratings can be expected to persist for at least another quarter. Despite what I'm sure will be already has been and will be ongoing, what the Fox editions of the Castro Bay.
Fair French.
French. Chavez. As you remember, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez called George Bush the devil, El Diablo. As we notated, this president wanted to meet him. Barack Obama walked across a ballroom and shook hands with, introduced himself to Chavez. They smiled and shook hands, chatting briefly. Chavez's office said the two men talked about their mutual desire to change the relationship between their countries.
What?
Why shouldn't we continue the same disastrous foreign policy we've had with everybody? Asked what he had to say to Chavez, Obama replied, I said, ¿Cómo está? And other communistical, socialistic thoughts like that. all right. He gave him a book. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Chavez gave him a book, The Open Veins of Latin America, 5 Centuries of the Pillage of a Continent.
Oh.
Not light reading.
No.
However, a gift.
Soon to be a hit comedy starring Seth Rogen.
Actually, Obama had something funny to say about that gift.
Okay.
It was a nice gesture to give me a book. I'm a reader.
Yes. I'm a reader.
I don't think anyone ever gave George Bush a book.
Yeah, previous presidents who shall be unnamed.
Exactly. Defending
Make
his
a good doorstop.
Defending his brand of world politics, Barack Obama said he strengthens our hand by reaching out to enemies of the U.S. and making sure the nation is a leader, not a lecturer of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
How's about that? He got smiles, handshakes, and a gift. And he embraced overtures of new relations from isolated Cuban President Raul Castro. Raul Castro on Friday.
We are ready when they want to discuss everything. Human rights, freedom of the press, political prisoners, everything they want to discuss, but on equal terms.
Wow, that sounds like progress to me.
Yep.
Yeah, Obama said the whole notion that if we showed courtesy or opened up a dialogue with governments
that
had previously
That's
been...
gay in French!
Previously been hostile to us, that somehow would be a sign of weakness. The American people didn't buy it, and there's good reason the American people didn't buy it. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you had Raul Castro saying he's willing to have his government discuss with ours not just issues of lifting the embargo, but issues of human rights, political prisoners, that's a sign of progress.
Yeah.
So so we're going to explore and see if we can make some further steps.
Yes.
After 50 years of an embargo, suddenly,
embargo that hasn't worked at all.
No.
Right-wing tool Lindsey Graham, taking us right back to the Bush foreign policy, said on TV yesterday, release the prisoners and we'll talk to you. Put up or shut up.
He said they were going to talk about it. You don't.
That's exactly.
You don't make demands on people when you're going to negotiate.
That's exactly the kind of macho bull diplomacy that got us where we got under George W. Bush.
God. Yeah, Lindsey Graham is not doing this country any favors by saying things like that.
Lindsey Graham on TV. Put up or shut up.
He's just inflaming the situation.
Smoke him out.
Exactly.
What a weenie.
Exactly.
He really is a little weenie, Lindsey Graham.
Right-wing tool Senator John Ensign of Nevada said on TV, I think it was irresponsible for the president to be seen laughing and joking with Hugo Chavez.
Whatever.
The president brushed that aside, noting Venezuela has a defense budget about 1/6 hundredth the size of the U.S.
Yeah.
And owns the oil company Citgo. It's unlikely that as a consequence of me shaking hands or having a polite conversation with Mr. Chavez that we are endangering the strategic interests of the United States, Obama said. Chavez, meanwhile, approached Hillary Clinton and said he was restoring his nation's ambassador in Washington, voicing hopes for a new era in relations.
Wow, that's great.
So there's one little concrete step.
Damn it! He's supposed to be evil!
He said, we ratify our willingness to begin what has started cementing new relations. We have a very strong willingness to work together. I know.
Wow.
Once again, gay and French.
French and gay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If we are practicing what we preach, if we occasionally confess to having strayed from our values and our ideals, that strengthens our hand, Obama said. That allows us to speak with greater moral force and clarity around these issues. I say,
wow.
Hooray!
Yeah.
Moral force and clarity. We need bombs! Kill them! Ah! Blow them up! Ah!
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
That's all they're left with.
Yep. Lindsey Graham also is probably the most ridiculous member to do the cowboy diplomacy because he looks like he's four.
Yeah.
Or 12 or whatever.
He better do it.
He's like, shut up, you stupid. You're stupid heads.
Or I'm telling Mom.
All right. Obama on Cuba.
Having taken the first step, I think it's very much in our interest to see whether Cuba is also ready to change.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Did anyone ever say that to George Bush when he was president of the United States? When Chavez first met Obama, he said in English, I want to be your friend, drawing loud applause from other leaders.
He won an election, by the way, Hugo Chavez. He was democratically elected.
He did indeed.
If the Republicans want to bring up the exit polls, let's talk about 2004.
Sure.
Good idea. All right. The far right screaming, of course, about the Chavez and the Castro.
That's
and
what they do.
Mm-hmm. Back with all of that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Your reaction to the president meeting with Hugo Chavez and Raul Castro.
It's gay in French.
Summing up what the right wing is saying. All right. Lavender, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Lavender.
Morning, Mama.
Good morning,
Luke.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
I'm watching the right-wing toolbox get its collective trays in a rattle over this thing all weekend. And all I can think is when we have a conflict in the classroom, we sit down and have what we call a conversation so that we can engage in problem solving.
Right.
That's gay in French.
Lavender, they've had such a double standard for so long on the right. You know, they talk about you can't talk to people that engage in human rights abuses, and then you've got, you know, President Bush sticking his tongue in the Saudi leader's ear.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, please, we don't talk to people we disagree with.
It just shows the example of the different kinds of leadership that we have with the new administration.
Yep, right.
I mean, Obama's really walking soft, you know, talking softly and carrying the big stick.
Look at the
Somali pirate thing. He didn't say anything. The right wing was screaming that he wasn't rattling his sabers loud enough. And all of a sudden, bam, problem solved.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, absolutely. And we were saying George Bush would have been doing the bring it on, smoke him out, and would have inflamed the situation, in my opinion.
Instead of a red herring, I guess it would be an empty codpiece.
I mean, and look at, you know, yeah, exactly. But look at, you know, he's trying to start a dialogue at least. And you've got Lindsey Graham going, put up or shut up, Cuba. You know, it's like, it's that kind of rhetoric that has made our policy not work for this many years, you know.
Thank God it's all over now and we actually have conversations.
Right. Well, here's the other thing I love is their hero, Ronald Reagan, who they could not quote enough during the Republican primary. First of all, they just have these tea parties. We're paying less tax than we paid under his under their hero Ronald Reagan, and then they talk about he talked to Gorbachev, he talked to our enemies.
Well, no one ever got disappointed underestimating a right wing toolbox.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he was the one that said we should reduce our nuclear arsenal to zero.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Also, why do we have such a cozy, close relationship with China, who is a communist country like Cuba, who has human rights abuses, who doesn't have freedom of the press?
Because they own.
Well, yeah, and we can make a lot of money off of them.
Exactly.
And we can't make as much money out of Cuba, so they're not as important. It just pisses me off the double standard.
Yes, exactly. The right wing's like, we agree with Jackie Chan. Freedom is overrated. Why do they need that? They don't need that. It's fine. Okay. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on Cuba.
You are all familiar with the administration's general view that engagement is a useful tool to advance our national interests and our goals of promoting human rights, democracy, peace, prosperity, and progress. So we have seen Raul Castro's comments, and we welcome this overture. We are taking a very serious look at it, and we will consider how we intend to respond.
By the way, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs said the U.S. is anxious to see what actions the Cuban government is willing to make to show it wants to improve ties. He said actions are always going to speak louder than words, regardless of how long the speeches are. So, you know, again, this isn't naive and irresponsible. Opening a dialogue doesn't presuppose where it's going. Robert Gibbs.
To change the policy, to begin to change the policy with Cuba. So, I think... Largely, I just don't think that this notion of engagement is anything that's a surprise to us because it's something that we've talked about.
Yeah, I love that. Once again, fake outrage from the right.
Yeah.
And this is what Barack Obama has always said. This is the foreign policy he's going to pursue. And then it's like, he's talking to Castro! I knew it's like this weekend when I saw the picture of him shaking Hugo Chavez's hand. I'm like, oh, my God, Fox News is going to be just in a frenzy all weekend over this.
And they were.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're playing to their base, which to some extent is the Cuban immigrant population in Miami. But even those guys are saying, you know, it's time to it's not working.
Well, they'd like to see their family too. I mean,
to be able to send money to their
exactly. All right, Robert Gibbs again.
The strongest reaction that we've all had is the admission by Castro that they might well have been wrong.
Yeah.
I think we were particularly struck by that. They're certainly free to release political prisoners. They're certainly free to stop skimming money off the top of remittance payments as they come back to the Cuban island. They're free to institute a greater freedom of the press.
Yeah, once again...
Damn it, it's working!
We're not naive enough to think that we're going to get everything we want from countries, particularly ones we don't agree with, because our president's popular. But guess what? It helps that our president's popular and not the most hated man in the world. That helps. That's a for starters. I mean, it was what's his name? Chavez was, like, fumbling over himself to get his picture taken with Obama. And, all right.
Because he knows that Obama's more popular in Venezuela than he is.
So. Funny you should mention that. A senior advisor to President Obama on Latin America said the Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez rushed a photograph of he and President Obama shaking hands into his government's website because Mr. Obama is more popular than Mr. Chavez in Venezuela. Well, I was saying that when Obama spoke overseas. There's the right wing likes to say, he just likes cheering and
whatever.
Why he speaks to 200,000 people in Berlin. No, it's to also show the European leaders that guess what? These are my constituents too. They, he's playing to them as well. Because that's the every country he goes in, he's practically more popular. Look at Gordon Brown. He was spooning him, for God's sakes, trying to get in a picture with him.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that was
kind of
gross.
It also sends them a message that your constituents are mine too, and they want us to have a different relationship. Anyway, his advisor said every president and political leader in Latin America and many in the rest of the world as well, maybe not every one of them, really sees political benefit in being seen to be associating with President Obama. And whether Chavez has problems with us or doesn't, and he does, and there is this strained relationship, it's in his political interest, he thinks, to be seen with our president. Once again, like Jim always says, President Obama appears to be playing chess and the rest of us are playing checkers.
That's right.
Everything he does, whether you agree with it or not, he's doing it for a reason, it seems, you know. Barack
he's
Obama.
Several steps ahead.
We have a smart president.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlikely that as a consequence of me shaking hands or having a polite conversation with Mr. Chavez that we are endangering the strategic interests of the United States. I don't think anybody can find any evidence that would do so.
What did I say? 1/116th they have their defense budget?
I thought it was 1/600th.
I don't know. It's a teeny tiny army.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, they have little toy soldiers. They have a bayonet guy. That's what they have. They have that one guy that just holds the...
What about Melty guy that sat underneath the magnifying glass? In the sun.
Let's go to Richard in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President. Hello, Richard.
Hi,
I can't believe I'm up already. You guys, I just, as an independent voter over here, and that's our fastest growing party, who supported Barack and voted for him, and I do like Barack, I just have to say, though, that the motto right now for his administration is "Ollie, Ollie, Ollie, and free." I mean, it doesn't matter if you rip this off on Wall Street, if you're a traitor, if you're a war criminal, you're not going to get prosecuted. Nothing's going to happen to you, okay?
Well, I would hang on the prosecution. We'll have journalist Greg Palestine later to talk about that. Again, the president may be playing chess and we're playing checkers. I'm gonna give that a second.
Darling. I don't think so, darling. I think what we're seeing is a politician now. And
he's a politician?
We need to restore the credibility to our country desperately.
Wow, imagine a politician in politics.
So you're saying that George Bush brought the credibility that Barack Obama has now destroyed?
Absolutely not. He was the worst president in American history. We know that. And by the way, just because the Republican hacks drove our economy in a ditch and said nothing about it, that does not justify a $3.6 trillion budget, okay? We need to wake up.
How would you fix this economy then? I mean, when you've got economists on both sides of the aisle saying we've got to spend our way out of this.
I'll tell you how. Give it some time. We're creating a correction. We're getting better. Slowly, but there's no
reason. Yes, but that's because the stimulus is already in place. Yeah. Because we're spending.
Darling, there's no reason to create $1 trillion deficits every year for the rest of our lives.
Hey, Richard, do you know how the stock crash of 1929 turned into the Great Depression? It was because the government didn't do anything.
Right.
Well, Jim, it deteriorated over several years.
Okay? Yes, it did.
They didn't.
No, the Hoover administration didn't.
Not until FDR got into office and FDR started doing things did we.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah,
okay, then.
Richard, the economy is getting better partially because of the stimulus. Yeah. How can you say, oh, it's just give it a second, it'll get better? It's getting better for a reason. There's cause and effect here.
I still, 3.6 trillion is too much.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right.
The reason that that Roosevelt wasn't able to fix the Depression during the 30s is that he listened to Republicans, people like this guy, and he put the brakes on government spending.
Slow down with the fixing it.
Yeah,
that's too much fixing
budget.
It.
And that's why we didn't actually fix it until World War II.
All right. Minnesota papers are unendorsing Norm Coleman.
What?
We'll hear what Coleman has to say about that in stand-up news and much more as we continue 57 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.